What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Remember, you can get the podcast, go to WBT.com or go to thepetecallinershow.com and get the podcast there. And by the way, if you get a chance, send me a message. Let me know what your preferred podcasting platform is, because the Google podcasting platform is going away. They're folding it into YouTube that they own now. They own YouTube. So they're combining it all with YouTube. So they're getting rid of their Google podcasting platform. So I know people have been asking, hey, you know, what's a good one to go to and all this. So if you've got one that you like, let me know. So I can pass it on to other people that are asking. Kurt Schlichter writing at townhall.com, talking about how the wide open border has allowed for some pretty unsavory types to have crossed into America. And it's not our it's not a matter of if we get attacked from adversaries that came in through the border. It's a matter of when, because of course, just think about it. If you're a country that, you know, really, really hates America, right? Like, we'll call you Democratic Stan. I kid the Democrat. No, we'll call you Wokistan. And so you really hate America and you want to take us down. And so you see all of the reporting about what's happening on the southern border. So if you really hate America and you want to take us down, why wouldn't you send some of your trained, members of the militant wing of Wokistan? Like, why wouldn't you send some of these military trained people across the border to get into America and then launch attacks from inside? Right? Because you won't be able to do it from the air. Right? It's not like you can, like, build enough planes and send, you know, some sort of kamikaze flight, you know, into America. Wait, can I say, am I allowed to say kamikaze? I think so. I mean, that was the name of them. Anyway, you would not be able to do that and not be detected. You would not be able to float an armada. Am I allowed to say armada? Is that allowed? Can I say armada? A whole fleet of ships. You would not be able to come across the ocean, right? We would see you coming. You show up on the radar, be like, yo, what are you guys doing? And then we would, you know, shoot you up before you, I mean, hopefully. I mean, I'm making some assumptions here at our ability to respond, yes. But then you can't do a ground invasion either, right? Like, what, are you going to have, like, all these troops amassed in Canada or something? Right? We would see these huge hordes of military troops. We would see them all in formation and all that stuff. But if you can just sneak some saboteurs in, some little green men, if you will, it's not an alien reference. It's the Russians, the little green men. These are the guys that come in and they sabotage, they foment discord, that kind of thing. They target infrastructure. There are all sorts of ways that you wreak havoc on a society in anticipation or in advance of something else in that country, or if you want to distract them so they stay out of whatever you've got planned for somewhere else. Like, if China wants to invade Taiwan, right? Maybe they take out the Eastern Seaboard's electrical grid, knock that out, and they can go and take over Taiwan, and, you know, we can't do anything. Stuff like that. Okay, so if you are a bunch of Islamic radical jihadists and you want to kill as many infidels as possible, would you not use the open border on the southern side or northern side, right? Would you not use the borders to access the country and then go about setting up your sleeper cells and, right, drafting your plans and coordinating and doing all of that? Why wouldn't you? They did it for 9/11. Why wouldn't they do it again? So, yeah, we are the first line of defense. This is the point of Kurt Schlichter's piece at townhall.com. He says, remember those two untrained idiots in Boston with some handguns and pressure cookers? Two idiots shut down a whole major U.S. city. What happens with 1,000 guys with effective weapons and a little training, and they do it all over the country, all at the same time? There is a decisive tactical advantage to leveraging semi-trained individuals operating simple but effective weapons like automatic Kalashnikovs that can be easily smuggled into the United States along with the fentanyl and the illegal aliens that have no trouble coming across, right? The key is that they're suicidal. They want to fight to the death. That's the key. They kill until they themselves are killed. Mindless meat murder robots provide a huge tactical advantage over regular soldiers to their murderous masterminds in Tehran or wherever. Right? They don't need combat logistics. They don't need medical evacuations. They don't need command and control. All they need is a time and a place and a bunch of Americans, preferably in a gun-free zone. And then you just go. Citizens with guns change that calculation, though. Right? Look at the videos, if you can, right? Some of the videos that came out of Israel on October 7th were out of Moscow with these ISIS guys at the music hall. When you watch them, right, watch the assailants, the attackers' behavior. They're walking along. They're not worried, right? They're walking along, not a care in the world, having the time of their lives, taking other people's lives. They don't fear anything. They're just taking their time. Armed opposition changes all of that, though. Even if it's just one other shooter, right? If there's one guy with a gun in that scenario, then the whole battle plan has to change, because now your attackers have to try to find this one shooter. Think John McClane, right? Now you've got to devote attention, you got to devote resources away from what your plan was, and you got to find this one shooter, because that shooter could ruin all your plans. So now you got to go find the person. Now, one person with a pistol against five rifles probably will end up with the guy with the pistol in a body bag. True. But it's the time that guy gave other people that's going to save lives and will set up the final victory. Right, that's the tactical reason for armed citizens. If you're the attacker in that scenario, you have to now account for it. You have to account for it. The moral reason, Schlichter writes, for armed citizens is that we have a right and a duty to protect ourselves, our families, our communities, and our Constitution. So there is a moral duty, but there's a tactical reason as well, which, in a completely coincidental announcement, the Justice Department says it has launched the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Now, they're calling it the ERPO, the Extreme Risk Protection Order, but that's not the whole name. It's the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. So it would be the NERPORC, NERPORC. Although they're calling it the center, which really, from an Orwellian branding standpoint, that's a much better name. It's the center, right? It does give you, it conveys this sort of all-knowing, you know, all-encompassing, completely intrusive, you know, constitutional blowing up kind of organization. It does really convey that. The Justice Department launched the NERPORC, or the center, which will, according to the press release here, provide training and technical assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health professionals responsible for implementing laws designed to keep guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. By the way, that is in fact all one sentence. My God, people, can I buy a period for this press release? I shall return to said press release. All right, it is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and you use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. So the Justice Department denounces the creation of the NERPORC, or the Center, the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. They're just going to be there to support all of the other stakeholders that are trying to take guns from people. So they're not going to be the ones to take all the guns at the same time. They're just going to be a resource center. They're calling themselves the Center. The launch of the center, quote, will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others, said Attorney General Merrick Garland. Quote, the establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark Bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. ERPO laws, the Extreme Risk Protection Order laws, or red flag laws, which, as I've said before, great concept. Love the idea. The problem is in the implementation. Right? Because, for example, when creating the list of people that you don't want to have firearms, how do you get on that list? Also, how do you get off the list? Who keeps the list? Who has access to the list? What if I get put on the list and I would like to appeal, right? These are all questions that don't ever really get addressed because the people that implement these types of laws usually are people that don't want anybody having guns. And they usually don't know a lot about guns in the first place. I have noticed this over the course of the last, I was doing the math on this this morning, as a matter of fact, which is why it's top of mind. I have now been a talk show host longer than I've been a reporter. And one of the things I learned as a host when discussing the gun control debate or issue that I never realized as a reporter, because when I was a reporter, if there was a gun-related story, I would go out and I would find people to comment on it. I would, if there was a law being proposed, I would, he said this and he said that other thing, whatever, here's what the law would do. But when you actually start going into the issue and you do the deep dive and you start talking to people and you start reading the arguments and hearing these arguments, I realized very early on in my tenure as a talk show host that people who are usually on the gun grabbing side of this argument really don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I'm not like a big gun guy, okay? Well, I know, okay, that could be interpreted several different ways. It's not that I'm like big guns as in like large rifles or large firearms. It's not like that. I'm not a hobbyist, okay? I'm not somebody who really loves going out and like buying all the different, and I have friends who are, I have friends who like they buy guns like people buy coffee mugs, you know, they've got firearms and they don't really like they, some of them. A friend of mine bought a gun, never shot it, just kept it. It was like an investment thing. And then he sold it years later. So I got friends that run the whole spectrum on the gun spectrum. I see it as a tool. It's much like a lawnmower, right? Like I know how to use it. I use it very infrequently, but I am trained enough to use it. And so like that's really, you want to have some training, right? You want to stay, sharp with it and practice and all of that. So yes, I take the mower out once a week, whether it needs it or not, like the lawn has to get cut or not, whatever. But what I learned very early on in discussing gun topics with people who are gun control advocates is that they really don't know a lot about what they're talking about. So, there were a couple questions that I have come to ask them early on in the discussions to kind of find out like what their level of knowledge is. And usually I am unimpressed. But these ERPO laws would help, they say, to, you know, petition a court to temporarily prohibit somebody at risk of harming themselves or others from purchasing and possessing firearms for the duration of that court order. So you got to go to the court. You got to ask them. Now, part of the problem here is that, like, for example, the Parkland shooter down in Florida, like that guy was law enforcement, Steve Israel, I think, or Scott Israel, the sheriff, he was alerted to the shooter, to his behavior, to his record. Hey, he went and got a gun. He put it at somebody's head, like all of this background, and they still didn't do anything. So you can have all the laws you want. If they are not enforced, it doesn't matter. Which makes you wonder, why are they actually trying to get these laws passed if they're not going to enforce them on the real threats? Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Email is Pete at thepetecalinashow.com. Devlin Brewer, take that on Twitter. See, if you follow me on Twitter, you see all of the side fights that I have. During the show, I'm fighting with people on Twitter about topics I'm not even talking about. It's true. I got this poor little leftist to finally, she had nothing left to say. She just says, because it was about a curriculum being taught at UNC. Maybe I'll get into it tomorrow. Let me go over here to Mike. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, Pete, you are 1,000% right on all you're saying. What one of my big concerns is about this southern border and all the terrorists that this administration is letting over is after the Iranians put an assassination hit on John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, which is, you know, was proven.
Yeah.
After Trump took out Soleimani, I think he has we know Trump has a huge target on him. I'm afraid that 50, 100, 200 terrorists will try to overwhelm the Secret Service, take Trump out, and I think the deep state, the CIA, Secret Service, they will allow this to happen. They don't care about the rank-and-file Secret Service guys protecting Trump. And the other aspect of this is the administration allowing a terror attack so that they can declare martial law and cancel the elections.
Here's
something is going to happen.
Here's the other side of that, Mike, is that if something does happen and it's not the deep state, as you said, that's not going to matter because people will still believe that it is anyway. Because we are now in a point where nobody believes anything. Anything that anybody else is saying, nobody believes it. And so even if 20 Iranians or Houthis or whatever were able to launch an attack on whether it's Trump or Biden, even if, how about this? How about if Trump or Biden just dies of natural causes, right? They just pass away. That is not going to be a sufficient story for half the country. Look at what happened after Antonin Scalia died, right? And do you think that if Donald Trump dies of a heart attack on the campaign trail, do you think that people are going to are just going to say, "Oh yeah, it was natural causes"?
Right.
No.
Good point.
No. It's like it's almost like we don't even need there to be the kind of attack we're describing for the reaction to be what is expected. Now, that being said, if you have a bunch of people that come in and do an assassination attempt and are successful or close, right, then it's not going to matter if the government was involved with it or not. Because most people who support Trump, I would venture to guess, are going to think that the government was involved with it. Right?
Well, again, why else are they allowing these known terrorists into the country? It's just madness. It's insanity that I can't figure it out any other way. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's, well, we've talked about some of the incentives that are there for Democrats to boost these numbers and to do it as quickly as possible. Part of it is for the census counting, right? Because you got blue states that are hemorrhaging people, right? People are moving out of the blue states and moving to red states, and that means that the blue states lose their congressional seats, but also they lose electoral college seats. That's the key also, right? So
I think those are perfect theories. Let me ask, is Congress, are they able to amend, we'll say, the whole idea of the census being just a count of the number of people and change that to citizens? Or is that take an amendment to the Constitution?
They tried.
Do you know how we could do that?
Yeah, Trump tried. But remember, this was during the pandemic as well. And I'm trying to remember what transpired, but this was a fight that was had. Donald Trump had this fight in the run-up to the 2020 election and the census count, but obviously he lost, right? So whatever happened after that, the census was already underway. But yes, this was like Congress tried to limit it to only citizens, but I don't remember how it all shook out to where it ended up, where we're counting people, not citizens, or not just citizens. Yeah.
Hey, last thing, if I could, terrorists love anniversaries.
Yeah.
They love anniversaries. I was actually in Afghanistan on the one-year anniversary of the Osama bin Laden. That was May 2nd, 2012. And the place I was staying, we had a Taliban attack just because of the anniversary. So I'm just saying, people, and you're doing a great job warning people to keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Watch anniversaries.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I know it's really good advice. I appreciate the call, Mike. It's true. I mean, these are ideology inspired attacks, and so the dates mean a lot, right? No, I appreciate the call. I've talked about this. We are moving from a high trust society to a low trust society. And there are prices, there are costs to that. There are actual physical, or not physical, but there are costs as a monetary cost, right? Like, it literally is going to cost us more money to do business because it takes more risk in order to get products to market, to go to the market, to buy the stuff, right? All these interactions that rely on a high trust level among strangers. When that trust declines, the prices go up. Things become more expensive to accommodate for that. That's why, you know, things are expensive in the black market kind of stuff. Anyway, that aside, there are all different aspects. It's not just the terrorist attacks. It's the general security level in a low trust society. There was a story over the weekend of a fella whose wife got in a Uber and she got picked up at, you know, location A, and she was going to location B. This is the middle of the afternoon, and the driver starts taking her north. Well, her location B was south, where she, her destination was to the south of where she was, and she knew where she was going. So, and she knew the town, so she knew that this was not the correct direction. There was no reason why this driver should be taking her to the north. She starts texting her husband, saying, he's taking me to the north. I don't know where he's taking me. This guy, and she eventually opens the car door, and he then, the driver then slows down, and she jumps from the car. And then, of course, calls a different Uber, which is like, why would you even call another Uber at that point? But, and then the driver that was taking her in the wrong direction, he started the, it's when he flipped the switch to start the ride at that point. So it's to try to cover his tracks or something. But like, that's what you get in a low trust kind of society. Everybody has to be, we all have to be head on a swivel, situational awareness, right? All the time. And that's, I mean, it's just good practice. And once you get into the practice, it kind of sticks with you. But I don't think a lot of people recognize the trade-offs that are incumbent in this kind of a world. You know, a lot of people have been spoiled, I think, in a high trust society. I count myself as one of them. You know, I walk around my neighborhood, and I'm not packing heat when I'm walking around the neighborhood sometimes. Okay, like once I wasn't. Okay, every single time I am, but no, I'm just kidding. I have to say that because I don't know. Somebody could like follow me out of my house and start stalking me. You never know. It has happened. Let me get to some messages. This is from Tim. Regarding the Russian school concert and / concert shooting, I heard over the weekend that while there is red flag funding in last week's spending bill, more gun control, aka a court ruled that legal aliens can have guns inside this country. Yeah, that was last week. I saw that. I wonder if the FBI et al. Has started passing out guns and ammo to illegals yet. Right. Well, here's your Obama phone. Here's your $5,000 gift card. Here are the rules and tips on how to squat in people's homes. And here's your free firearm. There you go. Terry says, so the same people regarding the center, the same people who champion multiple genders and surgically modifying young people are going to be tasked with rooting out dangerous gun owners? Cool. Chris says, high trust versus low trust societies. In college, he says, I had a job assisting the international freshman students with getting set up and getting their paperwork done. Many of them had their minds blown when I told them that their important paperwork and packages would arrive in their mailbox out on the street. Invariably, they would ask why nobody would steal it. Some were even angry that we would do something so stupid as to put anything of value out in a box that could be opened by anybody. Back then, I thought this was so wild. Not anymore. That is from Chris. Yeah, think about that. Right? In a high trust society, we drive around in a car and put letters with people's information into a box that has no security on it whatsoever. And people, I can't believe someone stole my mail. Really? I can. My mailbox always had a lock on it. That's one of the first things I would do is if the mailbox wasn't like at my door or door slot, I should say, you know, I'm putting a lock on the mailbox. The center has launched its website. States and local governments, law enforcement, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service providers, and behavioral health and other social service providers will have direct access to critical information, says the DOJ. Such as? It's a great follow-up question. Such as? What kind of information are they going to have access to that you say will enhance their ability to reduce firearm homicides and suicides? What kind of information? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to start, you know, like prosecuting some of the gun crimes? You going to start throwing the book at repeat, repeat, repeat offenders, that kind of thing? Merrick Garland's DOJ sets up the center. The problem, of course, is that we know exactly who this Department of Justice and this administration and its enforcement arm, the FBI, we know who they think are the extremists, right? Over at Legal Insurrection, they have a list of all the headlines that they have compiled on the abuses of power and disregard for the civil and constitutional rights of Americans who don't toe the Democrat Party line. Garland says white supremacists, the most dangerous threat to our democracy. Report says FBI targeting Donald Trump supporters as threats to 2024 election. House GOP report finds FBI abused its counterterrorism tools to target Catholic Americans as potential domestic terrorists. House Judiciary Committee reports whistleblowers say FBI pressuring agents to reclassify cases as domestic terrorism. Garland weaponizes FBI against parents protesting critical race theory and mask mandates. Christopher Wray says no evidence for Garland to target protesting parents, but FBI made threat tag to identify them. Remember that story? Or how the Senate GOP claimed that the FBI erased records connected to memo targeting Catholics or traditional Catholics, the trad cats or whatever they were called. That's not even touching on the un-American witch hunt for anybody who was even in D.C. on January 6th. The gross abuse of power by the FBI in raiding normal Americans' homes. Crowing over Lego kits as tools of terrorism. And generally acting like crazed banana republic goons on the hunt for any and all political opposition. Add in their own alleged criminal behavior and the diversity, inclusion, and equity scourge, and the FBI is a complete disgrace. The problem Democrats are having right now on the gun issue is that they've hit a wall, right? They've hit a wall in their attempts to ban firearms. I have said this for years. If you want to ban firearms, then repeal the Second Amendment. Introduce a bill, right, for a constitutional amendment. You introduce it into the Congress to repeal the Second Amendment. Do it, please. But they don't. You know why? Because no one wants to be on record as endorsing the repeal of the Second Amendment. Democrat lawmakers don't want to be on the record. Some of them are fine with it, but a lot of them are not. They want to pay lip service to it. They want to do all the different laws that they can to say that they are doing something and that they care more than you. But, because that's always what it's about. It's like, I care more than you, so give me the power, because I care more than you, right? But they don't want to actually repeal the Second Amendment, or they don't want to take a vote on it. They just want to do everything else around the issue so they can, you know, virtue signal that they're better than us, or they can go about doing it piecemeal. So they can't do it all at once because they've hit this wall. So what they're going to do is one at a time, basically. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.